Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the Serial Quim Review on this 26th of July 2014. As I discuss the world of sports, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or hit me up at my website on Facebook at facebook.com/SerialQuim, or go to my website SerialGeraldQuim.com. Busy program on this as we enter the month of August, which shortly will be upon us. Been a while since we've been on a regular Saturday. Been on a Saturday. We had done a couple specials, NBA specials, also the Jerron Cornell, Clay Colonial special. That had a lot of fun with that. But we are back in our familiar spots Saturday afternoons, Saturday mornings. And we begin with Johnny Football. Money, I don't know, Johnny Football, Money Johnny, whatever. You hear Tom Brady in the interview scoff at the, you know, when Teddy Bruschi says, what do you got, 4 more years left? And Brady basically like, what, 4 more years? You know, I want to play 7 or 8. What are you talking about, 4 more years? Then you hear Drew Brees say, hey, I would like to play 10 more years. Both of those guys right now are in their mid-30s. Tom Brady will be 37 before the season starts. Drew Brees is 35 years old. So, both of those guys are talking about playing into their 40s. Then you have Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, who – I'm telling you right now, if he has a career that goes to, if he makes it in the NFL until the age 28, then that's basically a full career. He will not play into his 30. He will not make it to 30 in the NFL. He will not play past 30 in the NFL. I'm telling you that right now. I would take that bet right. I would take those odds right here, right now. I'm telling you right now, this is not going to be a long career by any stretch of imagination for Manziel. Manziel, of course, had a summer of all summers. I mean, we can go to Vegas, hang out with Floyd Mayweather, hang out with Justin Bieber, chill with Tyrese. I'm not so sure about taking pictures, with a rolled up $20 bill. I'm not sure about that one. Other than that, we all would love to be in the shoes of one Johnny Manziel, signed with LeBron, with LeBron's company, 21 years old, first round draft pick, soon to be starting quarterback at the Cleveland Browns. I don't care how much they sell you on this Brian Hoyer or Hoyer garbage. And you look at those two quarterbacks in Brady and Brees, who are first ballot surefires Hall of Famers, all-time greats, will go down probably as two of the top 10 quarterbacks of all time when it's said and done. And then you have this guy, right, in Johnny Manziel. And for the Cleveland Browns to now all of a sudden pretend like, well, we talked to him and he's still doing these things, like this. You take Johnny Manziel as an 8-year-old, and this is an after-school special. You think Johnny Manziel is going to change with a speaking to, with a lecture? You know what I mean? Lectures Johnny Manziel's got probably in his lifetime in the last 4 or 5 years due to his off-the-field activities. I mean, come on. It's comical. This is why Cleveland's Cleveland. You knew what you were getting with this guy. You know he's a party animal. You know who he is. You know, if I'm Cleveland, I'm just like, look, he's going to do what he's going to do as far as partying. If he's there on game day, if he's ready, as long as he's ready to play on game day, we're good. We're good. That's where I would be at right now with Johnny Manziel. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. No more lectures. The only thing that could change Johnny Manziel is if he gets thrown out the league or if he gets cut, something like that. That's the only thing that changes. That's changed Johnny Manziel. He gets embarrassed through his on the field play. And Johnny Manziel feels like he's going to play to a high level and party. He's going to party. He's going to continue to party. He's not going to change Johnny Manziel. He's 21. He's 21 years old with money. Do you remember when you were 21 years old with no money? Nobody could tell you nothing. This guy's 21 years old with money, represented by LeBron. You know, has a Heisman Trophy, one of the greatest quarterbacks in SEC history. What can you do? What can you tell this guy? I mean, realistically. You know, and Cleveland, and this is the mistake Cleveland makes. So a report comes out through a Cleveland Plains Daily beat reporter, who says that, allegedly, you know, the Browns are not happy with his activities. Mike Patton had to, you know, leave his Hawaiian vacation to go talk to Manziel, to call Manziel, to talk to him about the $20 bill incident. And this is, again, anonymous sources closest to, you know, anonymous Brown sources. So the Browns are leaking this. Nobody, like, the media is not making this up. I mean, the problem with this whole situation is it comes from three different parts. Number one, the Johnny Manziel aspect. He's a party animal. We all know that. The second thing is half the faction. There's a faction of the Browns that didn't want Johnny Manziel. Period. Didn't want to draft him. Even with the 22nd pick. And the third thing is you just have a losing organization that just doesn't know how to deal, you know, can barely deal with the model citizen football players, let alone somebody like Johnny Manziel. So this is the worst possible situation for him to be in. I mean, Johnny Manziel needed to be with a New England Patriot type organization, a Baltimore Ravens. Well, I dare say Baltimore Ravens, that, you know, with the amount of players they've been having getting arrested. But that type of organization, Green Bay Packers, you know, Seattle. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a circus. It's going to be an absolute circus. I hope he plays 10 years. But I have a feeling we're only going to see him 5 to 7 years, either through injury or just completely self-destruct. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Serial Queen Review. Busy program. We'll be right back with Saturday morning headlines. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Serial Queen Review. 347-215-6180. Jordy Nelson signs a 4-year, $39 million extension with the Green Bay Packers. 14.2 in terms of guaranteed money. Of course, that is always the key figure when it comes to these contracts. And I'll be curious to see how much upfront money he's going to get. Remember, and this is I'm telling you, the NFL contracts are like, it's like studying law. I mean, they are so complicated in terms of how these guys get paid. He doesn't get the $14.2 million off right off the bat, like all of it right off the bat. It is spread out over the duration of the contract. Now, more than likely, he's in the prime of his career, still a young player. More than likely, he will see all of that money in terms of the guaranteed money and also his base salary. But, again, these contracts with the NFL are just, again, it's like, again, like studying studying law. It's crazy how to break down these contracts. But again, after losing James Jones, Jermichael Finley, Packers needed to resign him. There was some talk that Nelson wanted $10 million a year, so he almost gets that. He has developed into a legit top ten receiver in my eyes. Has had some good years for the Packers, so they keep him. Baseball Hall of Fame has reduced the number of years that a player will be eligible from 15 to 10. You can call this the Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens rule. I mean, that's all there is to it. Baseball does not want to answer questions on those two guys and guys like Sammy Sosa and those guys for extended period of time. Now, those two guys, Bonds and Clemens, this will be the third year that Bonds and Clemens are on the ballot. So, you know, instead of having 12 more years of questions, they'll just have, you know, you basically just have seven more years of questions in regards to Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame. That's all this was. I mean, I guarantee you, this rule would not even been thought of if not for, you know, the steroid era, and it's been in particular Bonds and Clemens. And again, I've always stated that both of them, and I'll continue to state that both of them deserve to be in the Hall of Fame in my eyes, that they both produced at a Hall of Fame all-time great level even before there was any whiff of steroid use in terms of them being connected with steroids. That's just my personal opinion, but bottom line is they will never, ever get into the Hall of Fame. I don't ever see anybody who's connected with steroids getting into the Hall of Fame and connected at that level. I can see a guy like Mike Piazza eventually getting there, but not a Palmeiro, Sosa, McGuire. Those guys are never getting in. Clemens. So, this rule again, but this was a rule that was designed, tailor made for both Bonds and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. Byron Scott has an offer from the Los Angeles Lakers to be their next head coach. The fifth interview was a charm. I mean, the Lakers have, and this is the Jim Buss era that we're in, if you're a Laker fan like I am, unfortunately, where you interview a guy a million times knowing full well that he's going to be the coach and yet wait, basically the entire half the summer to hire him. This is despite the fact that he's in constant contact with Kobe Bryant. This is despite the fact that allegedly, reportedly, they have been talking to Byron Scott about roster moves and do you like this guy? What do you think about that? Would this guy fit the system? Would that guy fit the system? But he's not your head coach. Officially, he wasn't your head coach at the time. But you're having all this conversation with him. He's talking to Kobe Bryant. But I don't know what the Lakers are doing. The Lakers don't know what they're doing, but I do know right now that Byron Scott is the head coach. Byron Scott, of course, looking over the contract with his representatives. If you're Byron Scott, you have to say, look, I need at least 4 years. I need at least 4 years with this roster, with the current state of the franchise. He wants to be the Laker head coach, but you have to assure me 4 years or I'll be gone. I'm sorry. The way the Lakers have been handling coaches, D'Antoni, Mike Brown, of late, I just wouldn't trust. I would just need some insurance in terms of the amount of years on my contract. So Byron Scott will be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. When we return, we'll talk some baseball, trade deadline, and the Dodgers get closer. That's coming up and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. (347) 215-6180 is your call number as they speak to Brian Hoyer live from Browns training camp. Listen, Brian Hoyer is a nice player. He's a journeyman. He's a journeyman and he's a backup quarterback. Johnny Manziel has been acting up so much that he's made Brian Hoyer out to be, he's basically, the Cleveland organization has basically made Brian Hoyer out to be Dan Marino all of a sudden. The guy's a backup quarterback. There's no two ways about it. He's a backup quarterback, a solid backup at that. If you have him as your backup, then you're in good shape. But if he's your starter, then you are the Cleveland Browns. And I understand he was playing well before he got hurt, but not like they were 10-2 before he got hurt. He got hurt early in the season. let's not get crazy about Brian Hoyer. He's a backup. Ideally, I would think that Manziel would be the quarterback. Has to be the quarterback by week three or week four. No later than week four. Has to be the starter. You would think. Dodgers trounced the Giants last night, 8-1. Yasiel Puig goes 4-for-5, 3 triples, the first man since 1901 to have 3 triples in a game. It was trying to become the first player to ever have 4 triples in a game in baseball history. So Giants all of a sudden now lead has been dwindled to a half game. That race is going to go down to the wire with the Giants and the Dodgers in the NL West. It's going to be a two-man. It's going to be a two-team race. Dodgers have the better team. You wonder, now the Giants are just going out this morning and acquired Jake Peavy from the Red Sox. Peavy, Peavy pitched a great game last year in the playoffs. He pitched a big game in the playoffs in the World Series against St. Louis. But for the most part, since he had that great year, since the San Diego days, he's basically been a shell of what he used to be. And if you're the Giants, you're like, you know, you give up a couple of prospects that you don't think highly of to get him. I'm sure that knowing the Giants, they didn't give up major prospects to get him. And I don't think he even needed to give up any prospects, any major prospects to get Jake Peavy at this point in his career. So, you know, the Giants, you can never have enough pitching. Matt Cain has been injured and is still on the DL right now. He hasn't had the type of year that the typical Matt Cain year. Even though Lincecum struggled last night, he's pitched well. Vogelsong hasn't been great. So basically, I mean, you have Bumgarner, Hudson, you know, Bumgarner and Hudson basically leading your rotation. But Bumgarner, Hudson, and Lincecum, which is a great three, man. But again, you can never have enough starting pitching. The question is, what are the Dodgers going to do? Are they going to go after David Price? Are they going to move? Are they going to move a Matt Kemp? Are they going to move a Carl Crawford? They have those guys. Crawford and Kemp are making a ton of money. Kemp has $107 million left on his contract. Crawford has $82 million on his contract. So those contracts are going to be pretty hard to move. But again, Dodgers have a bottomless pit of money. They can, if they really want to move those guys, they could pay the majority of those contracts and move those guys. Certainly, there'll be some teams that need, there's always some teams that could use a bat, in particular Matt Kemp. I don't know how much Crawford has left at this point in his career, but certainly Matt Kemp has some gas left in the tank. Also, you wonder what the Phillies are going to do. Phillies have a boatload of players that teams would love to have. The problem is the majority of those guys are making a ton of money, whether it be Ryan Howard, whether it be, you know, Cole Hamels, even Clear. I don't think Cole Hamels is even on the trade market. I would say Ryan Howard, Cliff Lee, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins. Those are Asian players who are making big contracts. Other than Marlon Byrd, all the Phillies players Javon Papelbon, that I would expect, because he's a closer, and our teams always need teams can always use some bullpen help. I would expect out of those guys that Marlon Byrd and Javon Papelbon will probably be moved. Ryan Howard's just making too much money. I mean, Howard, Utley, and Rollins are just making too much money, to be honest with you. Howard has $70 million left on his contract, $70 million. Off a contract that he signed a few years back. Remember that just ridiculous extension that he signed with still 2 years left of in free agency. Howard this year just hitting .224 with 15 home runs and 60 RBIs, has been benched the last three or four games. So clearly Philadelphia wants to part ways with him. But again, that, you know, baseball, you know, got teams, despite the fact that there's a ton of money in baseball nowadays, Teams do not like taking on these contracts from these older players. I mean, you just don't see teams do that anymore. So Phillies could be stuck with these guys for the remainder of their particular contracts, at least for the remainder of this year. So we'll see what happens with that. Baltimore gets by Seattle 2-1 in extra innings on a Chris Davis home run. Baltimore has been one of the best extra innings team in all of baseball. They've been tremendous in those games, continuing to lead the AL East by three games. Very, again, very interesting to see what they do. They could use another pitcher. So we'll see what happens with them. Again, all these races are going to, with the exception of the AL Central, in where you have Detroit, which is six games clear of the next closest competitor, which is Cleveland Indians, and there's no way Cleveland's catching Detroit. All these races are three games or less. AL is three games. You have the AL West with Oakland and Anaheim. It's a two-game lead for Oakland, despite the fact that Oakland has the best record in baseball. Los Angeles of Anaheim, they've played great. We talked about the Giants. Dodgers half-game lead for the Giants. You know, the NL East is tight with the Braves and Nationals, and of course the NL Central, you know, with the bevy of teams, Milwaukee leading the way over St. Louis, Pittsburgh, or St. Louis and Pittsburgh, who are both within 3 games of Milwaukee. So you have a number of tight races, both wild card races. Well, at least the NL wild card race is tight. The AL wild card race, the AL wild card race for the second wild card is tight. Anaheim, listen, Los Angeles Angels are going to make the playoffs. Either Los Angeles or Oakland are going to make the playoffs and have a lock on that first wild card. The second wild card, you know, who knows? It could be Yankees. You know, it could be Yankees. It could be, you know, Yankees, Cleveland, one of those teams, Yankees, Cleveland, Orioles, depending on what, one of those particular teams. So there should be a number of tight races moving down the stretch of this baseball season. I do not expect, in talking and getting back to the trade stuff, I don't trade deadline, which is coming up, which will be July 31st. I don't expect David Price to be moved, considering that this run that Tampa Bay is on right now. Tampa Bay has won 8 straight. They are seven games back in the AL East. And, you know, this is what Tampa Bay does. Tampa Bay seemingly year after year makes a strong second half push to get back in the race. I don't see Baltimore running away with that division. So I think Tampa Bay is going to be in it for the foreseeable future in terms of the rest of the season. And plus, you know, if you're Tampa Bay, you have all the leverage in terms of David Price. He's under contract through 2015. You really realistically, unless somebody just blows you away with an offer, you don't have to move him until this time next year, to be honest with you. 347-215-6180 is the call number. We will, when we return, we'll talk about the eventful week in the NFL that's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Is your call number. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Later on this week, and I'll make an announcement probably in the next day or so, we have another summer series special coming up. Again, the details of it is still still trying to figure some things out with it in terms of, I know who's going to be on the program, but I'm still, you know, we'll kind of save that for just, I'll put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, put it on the website as far as who's going to be on there. But, you know, it'll be outside of sports, put it to you that way. So it will be in the entertainment, someone from the entertainment industry. So it'll be you know, similar to the, you know, Malay interview we did last year, the actress, Malay Chester. So stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up this week, sometime middle of the week, end of the week, middle to end, the latter part of next week. So again, stay tuned towards that. I saw the trailer. I saw a trailer for Boardwalk Empire season 5, the final season of it. Just sadly, would be the final season. They could have went easily for 3 or 4 more seasons, or 4 or 5 more seasons easily, with enough, with all the historical content that they have to work with. But you know, Terrence Winter is a busy man. He wants to do, wants to get into, he has a number of other projects that he's working on. So it seems like it, and the fact that it was not making a lot of money, considering production costs, what, you know, the level of actors that they were getting, the ratings were not good. And again, HBO does not cancel series because of ratings, because HBO makes so much money with their premium subscribers that the ratings almost don't even matter on HBO to a certain extent. If that was the case, The Wire would have been canceled after season 1. So it wasn't about a ratings thing. It's just, you know, just more about the creators and producers just basically wanting to shut it down. But anyway, saw the trailer, and it's gonna be crazy. I mean, they're fast forwarding 7 years into from 1924 to 1931, Great Depression, and it makes perfect sense considering where the characters were after season 4, in particular Chalky. So September 7th will be the premiere date for Boardwalk Empire season 5, the final season, and definitely looking forward to that. 347-215-6180 is your call number as we discuss the world of sports. So Ray Rice gets a 2-game suspension. 2-game suspension after the aggravated assault, the alleged aggravated assault on his wife. And again, I have to say, alleged aggravated assault, because we didn't actually, the video did not actually show him putting his hands on her, even though we all believe and think that he did put his hands on her, and that she didn't knock herself out. So he gets 2 games, and after he receives a 2-game suspension, there's a public outcry. Roger Goodell is soft. You know, where is Roger Goodell's priorities? Roger Goodell, the NFL doesn't care about women, so on and so on and so on. And I'm amazed by all these statements, considering all of these particular facts, considering all of the facts. Number one, Roger Goodell, as a commissioner, has 2 jobs. That is to grow the league. That means raking as much money as possible, and that is to maintain the integrity of the game. Okay. Unfortunately, domestic violence does not fall under the category of tainting the integrity of the NFL. It doesn't. Or alleged domestic violence does not fall under that category. So if you're Roger Goodell, all you can do is just look at all the evidence that's been given to you. You can look at the fact that Ray Rice had never been charged before with a crime in his life as an adult. You can look at the fact that he had been considered a pillar in the community of Baltimore. you can look at the fact that Ray Rice's then fiance, now wife, went to New York with him to meet Roger Goodell and pleaded with Roger Goodell not to come down hard on Ray Rice. A report came out this morning through Monday Morning Quarterback's Peter King that Janae Rice, because they're married, got Roger Goodell to soften the sentence on Ray Rice. You have to look at all the factors before you basically crucify the NFL and Roger Goodell for not throwing the book at Ray Rice. My thing about this whole situation is that, first of all, personally, I thought he should have got a four game suspension. But again, I don't have the benefit at looking at all the evidence, police reports that Roger Goodell probably saw. I didn't have his wife in my face or basically pleading to me about how, her husband's a good man and it was her fault or whatever she said that convinced Roger Goodell to soften the sentence. I don't have the benefit of those resources. Again, you can't ask the NFL. The NFL cannot fix, world problems. The NFL can't fix domestic abuse. Domestic abuse is a major is a force of nature in this country. It's a major problem. Three women die every day because of domestic violence in this country. Three women every day. And one of the factors that, to me, is not being talked about enough. Now, it was touched on by Stephen A. Smith, but I don't think he did the greatest job at properly expressing what I think he was trying to say, and that is holding women accountable, basically, not for a man knocking himself upside the head, but a woman's role in domestic violence. Now, he used three words that you just can't use in saying elements of provocation. Like, there's nothing a woman could do. There's no way, I don't think any woman wants to be hit upside the head or knocked out, okay? So I don't know what a woman could do to prevent domestic violence. I don't know a woman has a crystal ball and says like, wow, at 8 o'clock, John is going to smack me upside the head. He's going to slap me in the face. Maybe I should leave. No, it's not going to happen. But what can be done is the reaction the actions after the fact. Look at this situation with Ray Rice and his wife. He beat her up in the elevator, did what he did in the elevator when she was his fiance. A couple months later, they're married. So, I don't know. Like, maybe it's just me. Maybe if I'm a female and I get knocked upside the head, at that point the relationship is probably, over? I would have to say that would be the end of the relationship as far as us being together. I understand that they have a kid, so they have that connection. They'll have that connection as long as they live. I understand that. But, again, you get knocked out cold. That might be a sign that this thing might not be in your best interest to stay in for any period of time. I mean, that's the problem. That's one of the problems with domestic violence and domestic abuse. Women either don't get out the relationship or they don't tell anybody about it. Authorities or the police about it. I guarantee you that's the number one reason why men are not charged men and I don't get charged for domestic violence, because the women, wife, fiance, girlfriend didn't report it to the police. Probably, I guarantee that's the number one reason. I don't even have to look up any stats on that. So again, what do you want the NFL? What, like, realistically, what is Roger Goodell supposed to do? All he can do is just look at all the evidence and give a fair ruling. That's all he can do. And again, you're talking about a guy, and again, you're talking about Ray Rice. Prior to this, had not one time violated the NFL's conduct, code of conduct. And again, had been a model citizen within the community, the Baltimore community. So, you know, can you argue that he could have, the worst thing you can do in this situation is to try to compare one action to another. Like, you know, I've heard that, well, you know, a player gets suspended because he tested positive for this particular drug, performance-enhancing drug, steroid, so on and so on. You can't compare that to this. Again, this does not violate what Ray Rice did or allegedly did. Does not mess with the integrity of the NFL game. Using drugs, in particular a performance-enhancing drug, messes with the integrity of the game because it gives that particular player an advantage over his fellow competitors, over his teammates within the organization that he's competing for a job, or over the competition over the opposition on the field. That messes with the integrity of the game. So you can't compare drug use in the NFL to domestic violence or alleged domestic violence. It's apples and oranges, and I hate to say it, but it is what it is. And again, you can't count. Like the NFL, listen, the NFL may be the most powerful sports league in the world. Okay, maybe one of the most well-run businesses in the world. The NFL cannot fix domestic violence. Do you think if Roger Goodell would have came down harder on Ray Rice, that's going to stop another guy from beating his wife or beating his fiance or lessen the chances? I don't think so. Because it doesn't stop. Listen, guys, you know, guys get suspended for using, you know, drugs or PEDs all the time in the NFL. And it doesn't stop them. Didn't stop Josh Gordon. Why didn't stop Josh Gordon? Because he has a problem. It's an addiction. Domestic violence is a sickness. It's a disease. It's sort of an addiction in many ways. You know, you hope for the sake of, you know, Jhené Alexander, that Ray Rice doesn't do this again, but chances are he's going to do it again. Like that, that's what the stats say statistically. This doesn't just happen one time. Is your call number. When we come back, we'll be back with Are You Kidding Me? We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of Serial Coin Review. And again, getting back to the the Ray Rice situation. If you're gonna blame, think about it, if you're gonna blame anybody outside of Ray Rice, he'd be the first to blame for this situation. Again, a man should never put their hands on a woman. How about the justice system? How about the justice system? Ray Rice, I think Ray Rice should be locked up myself. But, you know, he got off with no trial and with no conviction. So you can knock the justice system. And also, again, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it, you can knock his wife for not, you know, for not pressing charges and for marrying him. Like, again, they were fiancé. She was his fiancé when this happened. Now she is his wife. I can't say that enough. You know, sure, a woman can't prevent themselves. Like, most women cannot beat men. They can't. So, you know, chances are, if a man goes crazy on a woman or puts his hands on a woman, it's not going to turn out good for that particular woman. But after the fact, after it's been done, after it's happened, a woman can do something. And staying with somebody that's going to beat you up, that's going to knock you out cold, you're gambling with your life. If you're a female, you're gambling with your life. Now, again, out here, well, she has a kid with him, she cares about him, he is rich, so on and so on. Those are the same, but, you know, those are the same women who say these things will be the same women who criticize Roger Goodell for not suspending him for half the season, or saying that the NFL hates women. At some point, you as a woman has to take responsibility and say, enough is enough. You're not going to touch me again. I'm going to press charges, and we'll go take this all away. I don't care if you get locked up. My daughter loses a father. She loses a father. Father's in jail. You're not going to kill me. That's what most of these things lead to. Most domestic violence leads to murder. Period. It leads to murder. Again, I gave you the number. I gave you the stat. 3 women a day are killed due to domestic violence. 3 women a day in the United States. That's a real number. That's not something I just made up. That's a real number. You can look it up yourself. Google domestic violence in America. Is your call number. It is now a time for another edition of...
Are you kidding me?
Nick Forward, Carmelo Anthony, says that he doesn't care about the money. All he wants to do is just win. Okay. Carmelo, in his first interview since signing with the New York Knicks for 5 years, $124 million, you know, basically said that he doesn't care about the money. You know, people are making it about the money. The money doesn't matter to him. He wants to win. And it's just, it's just with somebody. We just pull Carmelo Anthony aside and say, listen, Carmelo, I know what you're thinking. I know what you believe, but this sounds a lot better. I want to win in New York. I believe in Phil Jackson. That's it. That's all you have to say. You don't even have to mention anything about money. Let's leave money out of it. Let's just say, I want to win a championship in New York. I believe in Phil Jackson, who has 13 rings. That's it. It's no more complicated than that. When you say it's not about the money, and say, you look like an idiot, basically. I mean, let's be honest. Listen, Carmelo signed, you know, the Lakers could only give him $97 million max. That's it. Versus the Knicks being able to give him $129 million. I get he signed. He did take a small pay cut. So kudos for that, whatever that means. He did take a slight pay cut. He signed for $124 instead of the full $129. If it was about winning, he'd be a Chicago Bull right now. Period. It is about winning. But the Bulls could only afford to pay him $75 million. So he would have had to take basically $54 million less, which I don't blame him for not taking. Again, I don't have any problem with Carmelo Anthony re-signing with the New York Knicks. He gets paid the most money, and Phil Jackson seems to have the franchise headed in the right direction. They have cap space after this year. They'll be able to make some moves. So, and I'm not, and again, and I mentioned this on numerous occasions, I would not sacrifice $54 million counting on Derrick Rose. I'm sorry. This is not going to happen. Lakers were really never an option. They just, you know, had a nice presentation. Again, somebody needs to pull Carmelo aside and look, Carmelo, stop saying it's not about the money. Even though you believe it, even though that's what you believe in your heart, that you want to win, it's not about the money, but just don't say it. Just don't say it because it totally goes against what your actions. Again, this is a guy, keep this in mind, back in 2006, okay, I know this is a while ago, back in 2006, when he was up for an extension, Carmelo chose to sign a 5-year, $80 million extension. No problem with it, okay? 5 years, $80 million. Most players of his caliber sign those 5-year extensions in year three after year three of their contracts. That's what most stars and superstars, all-star, again, those caliber players sign those particular extensions. Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James chose to sign 3-year extensions so that they all could be free agents in the summer of 2010. Okay? LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, in particular, implored Carmelo, said, look, man, we could all play together if you just sign for 3 years instead of five. They implored him to try to sign. Remember, the original big three was not supposed to be Chris Bosh. It was supposed to be LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. It was supposed to be LeBron, Wade, and Carmelo Anthony. That was what the original big three was supposed to look like in Miami. Carmelo said, no, I'm going to get this money, and, you know, the rest is history. So don't sit up here and tell us that you are not about the money and you're about winning. You're about the money first, and then winning comes second, which is fine. Is that who you are, then that's who you are. I'm not knocking Carmelo. I'm not knocking someone for taking $124 million. But don't come out and say that winning's first. That's what Carmelo gets himself in trouble. James Harden, Dwight Howard, criticizing Chandler Parsons, after he's left for Dallas Mavericks. Of course, Chandler Parsons signed a 3-year, $45 million contract to play with Dallas. Yeah, Dwight Howard saying, you know, we'll be fine. We'll be fine without him. Then you have James Harden calling, you know, saying that me and Dwight are the cornerstones. The rest of our players are just role players. First of all, Chandler Parsons is much better than just a role player, okay? Chandler Parsons this year played like a borderline all-star, all right? And matter of fact, he played much better than James Harden in the playoffs, I'll tell you that much. So to dismiss him like that, between James Harden and Dwight Howard, neither one of them have won a thing in their life, okay? I mean, James Harden got to the NBA Finals on the coattails of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. It seems like it's been about 30 years since Dwight Howard led Orlando to the Finals back in 2009. And needed help to do that, okay, with Kevin Garnett's injury. So, you know, he got paid. He went from $1 million to $15 million. Just let him go quietly. was he just supposed to just play for $1 million? I mean, come on. Houston chose to not resign him. They knew the risk. They got burned. And then truthfully, Houston ended up paying Trevor Ariza half that money. And Trevor Ariza might be all around a better fit for their team as far as defensively and also being able to shoot threes as well. So they might end up better off with Trevor Ariza. But the bottom line is, Chandler Parsons was not a role player on that team. Chandler Parsons last year was a borderline all-star. You don't put up, 16, 5-5. Those are not role player numbers. I don't see too many role players putting up those kind of numbers. And, James Harden two years ago, James Harden was Chandler Parsons, okay? James Harden was a third wheel, a clear, maybe even a third or fourth wheel on an Oklahoma City team that went to the finals. He was a third wheel coming off the bench as a sixth man. So James Harden especially shouldn't be calling out Chandler Parsons. You were Chandler Parsons a couple of years ago. You quickly forget. Then you got onto a team that allowed you to, expand upon your talents, and you've had some big offensive years. You can't play defense to save your life, but, you'd become an all-star, deservedly so. And the last one, Tony Dungy speaks about Michael Sam.
Are you kidding me?
So Tony Dungy is asked about Michael Sam and how he would handle Michael Sam as a coach, coming from a coach. Remember, Tony Dungy coached in the NFL for a long time, Tampa Bay, Indianapolis coach, won the Super Bowl with the Colts. And Dungy basically said flat out that he would not want him on the team because of the distraction that Michael Sam would cause. And all of a sudden, the earth moved. I mean, Dungy's, anti-gay. He supports Michael Vick and da 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 da. Like, number one, listen, he's coming from a coach's perspective, okay? Coaches don't, especially in the NFL, more than any other sport, coaches don't like distractions. If you're a coach, and especially in the NFL, you have to deal with distractions as part of the job. But if you can avoid a distraction, you're going to try to avoid it being in your locker room at all costs. And if I'm Tony, listen, he didn't come out and say this, but I'm guessing that Tony Dungy probably doesn't believe, it's clearly that he doesn't think that Michael Sam's talent is worth the distraction. Like the distraction and Michael Sam's talent doesn't override the distraction versus Michael Vick, who turned out in 2010 to be a legit starting quarterback. If you can get a legit starting NFL quarterback, that's worth a distraction. If you're talking about a guy who might not even make the team, that's not, and is drafted in the seventh round, that's not worth a distraction in your locker room. It's just not worth it. His talent is not worth the distraction, period. That's all Tony Dungy basically was trying to say. And basically trying to say that Michael Sam is a lightning rod for controversy. And he is. Just the fact that I'm talking about it right now, 3 or 4 days later, just the fact that the uproar that it caused when Tony Dungy made his comments, people around the country basically made Tony Dungy's point for him. Along with him said, they made his point for him. Michael Sam is a lightning rod who is not worth the distraction when again, he might not even make the team. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Again, I will see you next week. Stay tuned for updates on the Cyril Quinn Review Summer Series. Have a great weekend. So long.